This is Rackabix After Hours.
At last, the return of Rack Addicts After Hours, a music and technology podcast. It's episode 189. I'm Ben. Peter's here, as always. And I do apologise for our absence from the airwaves for a week, because I forgot to tell Pete I was going on holiday. Whoops. My bad. Business as usual, I think. Which means finding out what Pete has done in the last 2 weeks. So much. How productive were you?
I've been getting down and dirty with Pamela's pro workout.
You got one then?
Yes.
Of course. Hiding in plain sight in the top left.
Disguised because it's had a replacement black faceplate.
So it has. Where did you find it?
Yes, I acquired the black replacement faceplate from Mork Modules. I believe Sweden, I want to say. They gave me a little thank you, handwritten thank you note. Just
that's nice.
Thanking me for their support. But yes, it came relatively promptly. I think it was about a week. And it was a relatively straightforward replacement, other than that the little threaded nuts on the sockets.
Are they smooth on the sides?
Well, there's a slight flatness.
Did you have to purchase a proper tool for such a thing?
I most probably will do. I tried all my teeny tiny metric spanners and none of them fitted. So I think it's something like something 0.5 size.
You can't even see the flats on it.
No, it's really thin. Wow. I had to use flat-nosed snipe-nosed pliers, if that's the right term for them.
That's what I've always called them.
But I don't know, snipe refers to the really pointy ones, or these ones are tapered-nosed.
I was thinking the normal tapered nose, the relatively long but not super weird.
Yes.
I know the ones you mean.
So I had to do that without tearing up the surface of either of the faceplates.
Yeah, no, I've done that quite a few times, badly.
Yeah, especially when you slip.
Definitely.
You're applying too much pressure.
It was wonderful when I actually decided to go out and buy a cheap small socket set to do the little hexagonal ones.
Yeah, I should have potentially had a look in my Snap-on toolbox that we were talking about last week. Anyway, if I haven't got something of the correct size, I will most probably buy something. You know what I'm like with tools.
Well, yeah, it was like those weird sort of trimmer sticks for the Queen of Pentacles.
Yes, just have to have exactly the right thing. Although the Queen of Pentacles is sort of semi-retired now.
Yeah, I saw it was just floating off on its own. What's happened?
Well, the Erica Synth sample drum is just so efficient. And I don't have to go to the trouble of trying to concoct really good sounding drum breaks. I can just load up loops.
So you've been getting on all right with the sort of tempo matching and stuff then?
Yes, I'm very impressed with the Pamela's.
Awesome.
It is really way better than I anticipated. I was just thinking just something as a clock source. I didn't realise the granularity of the settings that you can program for each of the outputs.
You found something particularly useful in its problem-solving ability?
Well, it can do all sorts of Euclidean sequences.
I do love a Euclidean.
So it can behave like just about anything. Any modulation source or trigger.
And now you know
trigger.
Everybody loved the old one.
Yes. I'm glad I got the Pro version because there are a few extra bits and pieces.
Yeah. There's an expander as well, should you need it.
Yes. There's actually a few expanders, I believe.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, there are a few.
Not my multimedia recommendation this week, but
Oh, you're getting a cheeky 0.5 in there.
The ALM Busy Circuits YouTube channel has had a lot of hammering from me this week. There is a series of really good videos that they put out just on that particular module.
Awesome.
And they break it up into, I think there's at least five, maybe even six different videos.
Bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, I mean, a good 5-10 minutes worth gets you the principle of what they're trying to get across.
Lunch-sized chunks.
But it's very intuitive, really straightforward. Someone's seriously sat down and thought what they want it to achieve and what it can do. And it's... Yes, should have got one years ago.
Awesome.
So I can actually do more interesting things with that than I could do with a more traditional sequencer.
Fair enough.
Yes.
A success.
Yeah, so again, it's this time it's not so frantic, but the clock is ticking on the test chamber.
So it is.
Live performance, and that's what I'm currently trying to achieve. So
indeed. And with the efficiency of your of Deep Minds, the piece, you definitely have time to play two things.
Well, I've got a plan that I'm going to be doing the Deep Minds with the percussion coming from the scarab.
That could lend to a pretty cool transition into part two.
Yes,
potentially.
Exactly. And I've already got the part two. I've got it already, and I've got the two drum loops from the particular track loaded, and it works really well. I've just got to work out how best to either trigger or even manually play the Deep Minds.
Manually playing would be cool.
Yes, it might have to be.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to it. It's actually not far away.
No.
Let me take a little bit of the time your ears have allocated to function today to remind you that Project Test Chamber is fast approaching. 30th of September, 1st of October. You can get tickets to two full days in a historic wind tunnel listening to synthy things in a giant reverby box. You can build a disintegrated crackle box. You can attend a tour. Oh, wait, no, you can't. That's full. Sold out, I think, at the moment. The Fast Museum Tour. There is a modular cafe happening there. Void Null are going to be playing, and you know who else is there? Adrian Utley. Oh my. The tickets are available at modcaf.org.uk, and you can catch up on YouTube at modcaf, M-O-D-C-A-F. Be there or be square, because Pete and I are going to be there, and we'll be very round. Yeah. So, the composition and stuff has been going all right.
Yes. Yes, awesome. It's been going very all right for once.
I've had a thought. Is it going to be one scarab?
Yes, or... that's what I'm shooting for.
So it'll be, if you go for that same stand as before, one scarab, one deep mind?
It'll be one scarab and two deep minds again.
Where's the other one gonna go?
I've got a second ultimate stand.
Oh, right. Gotcha. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
At a minimum, it's going to be interesting. So I also contacted Happy Nerding.
Cool.
To see if they had a black Effexaid Deluxe panel they could sell me.
Oh, do you already have an Effexaid Deluxe, do you?
Yes, a silver one.
Ah, and you wanted to go for the conversion. What did they say?
No.
Ah.
They didn't have any.
Rubbish.
I had already found a retailer. I think it was Signal Sound, possibly, who had the black faceplates listed on the website, but alas, they had no stock either.
Oh yes, so I thought went straight to the source.
Straight to the source, and they didn't have any either.
Rubbish.
Did respond very quickly, but it was a bit of a disappointment. But again, going back to what I was saying prior to us commencing the podcast this evening, a lot of these synth companies seem to emanate from Spain, and so do...
Yeah, loads of good stuff.
Happy Nerding as well. Another.
I didn't know yes. that. Well, we're going to be visiting another two, I believe, Spanish companies in the news section.
Okay.
Nice one.
Apart from that, I've been attacking the workshop.
Wonderful.
Bigly, because of the last bit of good weather we're having. So it's the last opportunity for me to make a dent, and I think I've achieved something. So hopefully by the end of the week I should be beginning production of your soundproofed baffle
Amazing.
Screens or whatever you want to call them.
While I'm thinking about it, I actually have 4 days. I have Friday and Monday
Ooh.
This week off. So if you need extra hands, extra unskilled hands.
Might be the thing.
Awesome.
Might be definitely the thing to do.
Good stuff. That could be some tidying, some building as well, depending on what to be done.
Okay, I will definitely take you up on that offer. So when you say this Monday, the one that's not today?
No, so the Friday coming up, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all free. I have a lot of cooking to do, but I'm free apart from that.
Okay, cooking?
I didn't get my partner anything for her birthday.
Okay.
I offered to do a full 3 meals day of cooking.
Okay.
But and she could just choose what I make, because I really like cooking. I just hate day-to-day cooking. It's just not interesting at all.
Yes.
And she's really good at that. So she has requested le croissant for breakfast, because I'm interested in making them. I've made them a couple of times, and they're tricky but really fun, and they never taste bad, but there's always improvement to be had. Anyway, so that's going to be breakfast. Then lunch, I think I'm cooking scallops as a starter, and then like a salmon-y something, which I haven't really planned out. Then I'm going to do ramen in the evening, but like do the full, you know, bone broth and all that kind of stuff. Andy would love it.
Sounds great.
Could be tiring.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, my apologies. But yeah, there might be practice rounds. I might have to do 2 rounds of pastries. Anyway, that's the weekend, the double weekend.
Okay.
Good stuff. Ah, I know what I was going to ask. In the tidying process, did you unearth any buried treasures in the garage?
Only the ant highway.
Ant highway.
Yeah. Yes, there was a colony of, I think they're ants, but they all seem to have little wings. They weren't like the...
Oh, well, it is the season. There's that 1 or 2 days every year where they spout wings and get in your face.
Yeah, but normally the ones that come forth from the ants' nests are sort of bigger than the actual normal ants. Mm. These ones were all the same size, except some had wings, and then some of them were sort of slightly gingery, if that's... or translucent. I was worried they weren't actually ants, but they were behaving like ants, and they seemed to be coming up through the...
Do we get termites in this country? Don't think we do.
I don't think we do either.
No.
But they didn't seem to be eating anything. They just seemed to be sort of on a mission, sort of like little...
going about their business.
Right across the workshop, under the floor of the other workshop.
Wow.
And out the other side of the garage somehow. I don't know what's going on.
A conspiracy.
I hoovered a lot of them up, and then they just keep coming.
Yeah.
I put poison down, and poison, so we'll see. But nothing spectacular. Nothing that I didn't realise I had per se, but I've got one of those.
Mm.
So it's more of a recollection when finding things. And there's so many tools that haven't even been unpackaged.
What you like.
I know, it's ridiculous. It's like, I'll just get it now because I know I'll need it in the future. And then some years later, it's still in its box.
One day, maybe.
It'd certainly be a treasure trove, possibly for someone else, if it was less sort of frozen in time and they discovered it all. Anyway, that's mainly been my week.
Good stuff. Well, our absence from the airwaves last week was caused by my holiday to Lyme Regis, which was very relaxing. I went swimming in the sea twice, which is amazing. I haven't actually been swimming for years and years. But it was great, really, really warm. And we did a bike ride as well. If you know Lyme Regis or the area around Devon and Dorset and things... hills.
Yes.
It was quite horrifying. There's two ways out of Lyme Regis. One by the kind of harbour wall, which has to be approaching 20%, which we came down at the end, which was kind of terrifying, to be honest. We went up the other way, which is probably only somewhere between 10 and 15. But we both survived, so it was all right.
Yeah, I made the mistake of going on a cycling holiday to Devon one year. Never again.
It's just nothing flat at all.
No.
Up and down the whole time.
It was like death.
Yeah. I did actually enjoy it. Weird.
Yeah,
anyway.
Sense of achievement, I suppose, getting to the top of those hills. No, I've only approached Lyme Regis from the beach.
Mm. Yeah, did you go a fossil hunting?
Yes.
Good stuff. Yeah, we did see the Ammonite Garden, this big old slab, kind of one of those layers, you know, when you have some of those cliffs will disintegrate and you'll see the layers. It's kind of one of those on beach level that's just full of Ammonite fossils.
Yes.
It's great.
Did you not do any collecting yourself?
No, because partly there's nothing really left to get unless you're hacking into the cliff wall, which you're not supposed to do, and it was just full of, because we were there on a bank holiday and after people had left, but it was just full of people just, you know, chucking rocks around, and it was just a bit
it
was nicer when they all went home.
I have to say, I can't remember what time of year. The weather was okay, but there was virtually no one there when I went.
That's how I like English beaches best. Empty.
Apart from a few fossil hunters.
Mm. No, that was cool. And Sunday, I went to Plaza, which is now in Olympia, instead of, I think it was somewhere Earl's Courtish before.
It certainly has been in Earl's Court. I'm sure it's been in the Excel Centre as well, possibly.
From what people were saying, it was a lot smaller than it had been before.
I think a lot of these shows are shrinking. Everything's changed post-COVID.
Yeah, totally. There was a lot of audio and there was a lot of visual, but as Ant pointed out, there wasn't a lot of audio visual, which would have been super interesting. I did spend some time with three different companies doing immersive audio, which was cool. One, which was my favourite, because it was just one dude in a really tiny little stand and he was really nice. So the company was Innovate Audio and he has a product called PanLab 3, which is a program hosted on a computer that will connect to kind of generic mixers. I think he's got 12 or 16 or something supported models, including the X32, which of course everybody knows, but it allows you to do, I think, 16 in, 16 out, but do surround panning with any mixer. So you don't need some expensive proprietary box to do it all. You just set the inputs how you like, set the outputs, and you have a little graphic interface to position your speakers and graphical panning thing. It does automation, and it was super cool. And possibly the cheapest way of getting into live, or getting a system working anyway for live immersive sound systems, which is neat. That was really cool. PanLab 3 from Innovate Audio. There was also another one that I can't remember the name of, which had a kind of tracking beacon thing that you can sort of put on performers and it will do the panning as they move across stage. So a bit of a theatre kind of integration one. And I also attended a demo of DB Technologies Soundscape, which was thoroughly disappointing. But, you know, trade show floor, never going to be the right environment for it. It wasn't a very big setup. Had all the speakers it needs, needs to function, but it was underwhelming. I would have liked to have seen it in its natural habitat.
And they didn't have a special booth or anything set up to it.
They did, but, you know, tucked in some random corner, tons of bleed from the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Not happening, really. One concept was introduced to me, which I didn't really know about, which sounded really cool, which is virtual acoustics. Have you heard of virtual acoustics before?
I have not heard of virtual acoustics before.
Yeah, so this will be kind of an installation thing in, I think the chat was saying, high-end lecture theatres, high-end concert halls and things, where they'll make the actual space really, really dead, probably not anechoic, but super dead, and it would sound really rubbish. And then they will use a combination of microphones and the speaker system to then simulate reverberant spaces for whatever performance they have going on, which I thought was quite an interesting use of surround sound that I hadn't considered before.
No, it's sort of like DSP for performance spaces.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think most of them will use kind of a modelling system rather than convolutions, which is a bit of a shame. But still, I don't imagine it would be that hard for people with the right smart brains. Anyway, so that was Plaza. Definitely worth going, if only for the panel Visual Storytelling in the Age of Advanced Video Technologies. That was rather inspiring. Thank you for the Framework team putting that one on, and the wonderful speakers. Unfortunately, the vintage audio section that had some of Pink Floyd's PA and Bowie's Minimoog didn't have the Azimuth coordinator, which was a big disappointment for me personally. Never mind, never mind. Finally, I'm going to go and talk about Test Chamber again, because I can. Your boy, Ben, was on the front page of the Sound on Sound website.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, he was. Let's see if I'm still there.
Sound on Sound.
Oh, yeah, there I am. I'm still there as of the 4th of September in the kind of first page scroll into the news section. You see, ModCaf Test Chamber Project, and look who it is, looking all introspective. Well, I think that was from stage one. Thankfully, it wasn't with the boot immortalised that is probably going to be in the documentary, which will be a bit annoying. Then we've got a good picture of Ant underneath the blades. But it's a cool little write-up. Hopefully we got some eyes on with that one. Hopefully direct people towards the show. The other Test Chambery thing was we were also on Why We Bleep. Oh yeah! We have to plug another podcast on a podcast. Is that legal? Will they come after me? But no, the Why We Bleep featuring Rival Consoles. Actually a really good listen. You want to go and check out the whole thing. But pay attention to the very end, where we have a little readout from Mr. Mylar Melodies himself. Thank you very much. Again, I hope that gets some more eyes on the project.
Yay!
That was cool. So there we are. The word of ModCaf getting out into the world. Listeners, you'll have to go and find that episode of Why We Bleep featuring Rival Consoles, because we're not going to play it on our podcast. That would be weird and copyrighty and awful. You've got to go. If you don't know Why We Bleep, How? Anyway, those are the weekly updates. It is news time. Pete, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Amazing! Firstly, Board Brain Music have the Patchulator Pro, which is a 10-channel desktop patch bay for experimental effects routing. You have quarter-inch jacks on the back for interfacing with guitar pedals, and 3.5mm on the tippity-top to interconnect them. So if you were doing modular stuff, you'd probably use a pedal interface module as a main output. But this also works with drum machines, regular standalone synths and stuff, but a good way of getting effects chains together and flexible. It's pretty cool. Let me show you a picture of it, Pete.
Okay.
So I think you have 10, or is it? Yeah, 10 effects loops that you can patch together in any order. Good stuff. $219, which seems fair enough, I think. Here's one. Waldorf has discontinued the Kyra virtual analog synthesizer. Did you ever have to use this thing, Pete?
No, I've avoided it.
Yeah, it's terrible. So I had to try and do a demo of it once for a video, which we never made because it was so annoying to use. I thought, okay, this is a like 16-part multi-timbral thing. Why not sequence a bunch of parts? And I thought, okay, we can synthesize kick drum, snares, and hi-hats as well as other things. Why not? It took me 20 minutes to find the noise level. Says it all, really. I'm not sorry it's gone. So, most excitingly, I think, personally, for this week is the announcement of the Noise Engineering Mixer.
Ooh.
Yeah. It is called Xer Mixer, I guess. XERMIXA. There is an expander called Expando Expandy, which is a CV expander. Let me give you the things. It is a digital analog hybrid machine with state save and recall. That's definitely the first time I've seen that turn up in a Eurorack mixer, save and recall. Super handy for live, I would imagine. You have 10 stereo pairs or stereo paired inputs, 8 interactive channels, the ones with the faders, and you have 2 auxiliary channels, which I believe are both stereo, clickless mutes. You even have pan law settings per channel, which is kind of wild, pre or post fader send routing. CV control in the expander gives you 8 inputs, and you can have 2 expanders connected and route your modulations to a maximum of 32 destinations. It is also reversible, so you can have jacks at the bottom or at the top, and apparently they're not promising anything, but they are considering making quad mixing available, which is super cool. So it doesn't have some features you might want. It does have that save and recall. I think that is a huge deal for the people that want it. Now, do you want the bad news?
Yeah, far away.
We're working in US dollars, and there is a discount on the expander, but let's just the mixer module. What do you reckon? It does have, let me show you a picture of it. It does have a screen, does have nice long throw faders, nice tactile switches.
Yes.
It's a big boy.
It's going to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say north of $1,000.
It is $999.
Close then.
$1,051 if you bundle an expander in as well.
Okay.
How much was your WMD performance mixer, if it's not too rude to ask?
I want to say it was around the 700 mark.
Ooh. Wasn't expecting this one to be pricier. Save and recall though. For those live modular people, that could be huge.
Noise engineering modules aren't cheap.
No. They're also very, very good.
Yes.
I want to see what people do with this.
Yeah, I'm quite interested.
Oh no.
Well, I was thinking each Scarab case is going to have its own mixer.
Well, you might as well have two flavours. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we have a new entrant. No, it's obviously a new entrant. I think we have a new front runner for best named module. There is, of course, the Rungler, which is, I think, is a great name. There's one that has like a unicorn on the panel, which I remember being quite funny. Can't remember any off the top of my head, but there are lots of weird names out there. But nonlinear circuits do feature quite heavily on that list. But this guy is an analog module loosely based on Carp Lust Strong Synthesis. And the name is Carp Lust Wrong with a question mark.
Don't tell me there's a fish on the front of it.
No, it's just a standard nonlinear circuits panel, which is kind of plain with gold, which is their kind of vibe. Is Carp Lust Wrong? I love it. I think that's really clever. So, Carp Lust-ish, it sounds like this. As is usual for nonlinear circuits, it's kind of weird, potentially difficult to control, but that's kind of the point, because it's fun and explorative, and I'll read you the description on Modular Grid, because it's funny. This module is loosely based on the Carp Lust Strong algorithm. You may get it to make some plucked string sounds, or you might just get lost in a rubbery glitch mess. Most likely, Messrs. Carp Lust and Strong would drag me out into the car park for a kicking if they heard this module, or even saw the name. Good stuff. Nonlinear circuits is Carp Lust Wrong. Ha, love it. We're going to Spain. Already, for a visit to Bafaco, they have released the Trolleybus, which is a new power distribution system that featured in their 7U case, but is now available separately, with a 4HP front panel with 2 USB ports, and a clicky push button for on and off, which is kind of interesting. But what they've got here is 2 rows that are separate from each other, so you could do something like have quiet modules on one and loud noisy ones on the other to try and optimize your noise floor. You are given 5 amps on the plus 12, 2.5 on the minus 12, and 4 amps on the plus 5 with 28 keyed headers. That's pretty chunky. Available now, €259. That's a cool option if you have a big old case. Next one, we've spoken about this before, the Erica Synths and Richie Horton Bullfrog is now available for pre-order, €500 plus VAT. We've got some noises. Patch there using the included sequencer, five-step sequencer card. You also get acid bassline and a sampler loopery thing, which is it this patch? Yes. It sounds pretty cool to me, and I think I commented last time, I think it looks pretty awesome as well. SSL style knobs and just a very friendly layout. It is designed to be educational, after all. To refresh your memory, this guy.
Okay.
With the card slot, I think, stolen from the Pico Systems, which had one on the side. To round off the news section, we have a lot of small synthesizers. Firstly, Woovebox, which is very pocket operator looking, but you've got 8 7-segment displays and an encoder, as well as the 4x4 grid of switchy looking tactile clickety boys, but it's got quite some specs. You've got sampling, you've got a synth engine, which is 16 part multi-timbral with 16 tracks, one of which has 4 voices of polyphony and the rest have 4 paraphonic capability, 4 voice paraphonic capability, 16 algorithms, 17 oscillator models, 2 oscillator models per voice from the usual VA to FM and percussion as well. You have up to 256 user samples in 16 kits, up to 62 seconds at 44.1 8-bit, and you can record in with a 3.5mm in. You can slice and chop your samples as you like, and there is also support for multi-sampling. You have a modelled multi-mode filter per voice with 10 types, with amp envelopes, filter envelope, and multiple LFOs per voice. Global multi-effects, reverb, stereo, chorus, stereo delays, per voice effects, including distortion, saturation, stuff, dynamics, compressor, limiter, real sidechaining, gating as well, vinyl and noise effects. Oh my. And the sequencer. We've got to get started on the sequencer. It is limited in a tad. It is a tad limited, perhaps. 16 songs with 16 tracks. Each track has 16 patterns, but each pattern has a maximum of 16 steps, which could be a little irritating. Polyrhythmic and generative options are there. Arpeggios, XOX patterns, conditions, step modifiers, probability, scales, modes. It's got everything. Let's have a listen. Did I mention it has a battery? Oh my! All for $249. What do you reckon, Pete?
Yeah, the video I watched, the note from the manufacturer said he was trying to make it as affordable as possible. Mm. I suppose $250 per se isn't too awful, but it's compared to some of the units we were discussing the other week, which were phenomenally inexpensive.
But it does oodles of capability in there.
Yeah, a lot of functionality, but it does. It's got that, definitely got that bare look like a pocket operator.
Yeah.
So a bit of circuit with a couple of buttons on it.
I think it is. It's a little bit thicker and a bit more substantial because it comes with a case to make it so. Otherwise, yeah, it would be quite naked. Actually, the scale of it is hilarious because the sort of the cap on the knob is just so much chunkier than the rest of it. I think it's commendable, this thing.
Yes, it falls within the scope of the tiny, tiny instruments that we've been discussing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll, of course, look at home on, well, right next to Pocket Operators, which it can sync to, because it also has a MIDI out, I think, for sync as well. Or is it MIDI in? Either way.
I was going to ask about connectivity.
Yeah, so there's a sync output, which I think is... Oh, yeah, so it's a MIDI out. I don't know if it will actually send MIDI, but it works for syncing. It's on 3.5 mil. It's type A, and it also does the Pocket Operator sync. Lots of stuff in a very small package. I think it might possibly be a bit of a make or break on how well the button combos and navigation of programming goes, because it will be challenging to display the right kind of information and navigational aids on 8-7 segment displays.
Yes, I see.
Legibility is quite tricky.
It's quite an endeavour. It's one guy.
Yeah, commendable, as I said. It's super cool. WooveBox. There are guides, tutorials, WooveConnect, which I think might be part of how you move samples. Oh yeah, it has Bluetooth as well. It's everything. But yeah, check out the website. It is rather deep, I reckon. I think this was our other Spanish company of the week. Casa Synths, was that the Spanish one?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So Casa Synths recently have, I'm not sure how long ago this one was kind of announced, it looked familiar, but there is a really good demo and walkthrough, a video on Floyd Steinberg's channel about the Casa Synths Blaster YMF-262, which is another addition to a range of, I think, 3 synths in the same kind of chassis from Casa, all with different Yamaha chips. So this actually includes 128 General MIDI 4 operator instruments that you'd find in vintage video games, apparently like Doom, so you might find some familiar sounds in there. You have 6 channels with 4 operators per channel, all with different algorithms, and is a bit of a powerhouse for vintage FM sounds. Doesn't have to be angry, though. Check this out. Sounds pretty cool. So yes, you can play it as a 4-voice polysynth, should you so desire. These are all kind of PCB and acrylic sandwiches with 4 LCD screens and a little window to show you the genuine chips. There is also a 1-octave keyboard, which I imagine you probably wouldn't want to play, but there is USB MIDI in, and of course the audio output, and lots of stuff happens via the SD card for preset saving, I believe. It seems there's quite a community around these on Tinternet. But they are kits available on Tindy, $259.99 US dollars, and you can choose from a bunch of different chips, which all have different characteristics. But it's very confusing, in fact, all this documentation. Go and watch the video on Floyd Steinberg's channel to get the lowdown. So ends the news, which of course means we must move to the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation that is how we finish our show every week, apart from when I forget that I'm on holiday. But I'm going to go first this time, because I have indeed finished Neuromancer by William Gibson. Oh my... That was quite a read. It has a cinematic writing style, and the pace is very unrelenting. I don't think you can be very unrelenting. It's just unrelenting. Really, really cool. And Pete, you might not want to read it, but you gotta audiobook this one. I think you'll love it. It's really, really your kind of thing. So, cyberpunk. Apparently it's one of the first cyberpunk kind of books. There is a dude called Case, who was a kind of hacker-type dude, and there is a Matrix equivalent in this particular future Earth, and he, I think they called them cowboys or something. Either way, basically thieves floating around in cyberspace. But then he, like, stole from his employer, and they poisoned him, so he can't use cyberspace anymore, and then he gets hired by this dude for one last job, and there's AIs involved, and it's super cool, and I'm selling it really badly. You got to listen to it.
I'm surprised they haven't made a film out of it yet.
I think they've tried about 3 times, and it's never happened.
Yes, I don't know how it goes.
Yeah, get on it. Neuromancer, William Gibson. I finished it and then immediately started rereading it because there's more detail to be uncovered. It's quite dense in the writing, so yeah, it's a double read. Do it. Pete, take us away. What have you got for us?
Right, Jack Conti is the CEO of Patreon.
Oh, of course he is.
And
yes.
Half of Pomplamoose, I think that's how you pronounce it,
yes,
and
indeed.
Scary Pockets.
Oh, he is.
He's got a new channel on YouTube called Digital Spaghetti.
Digital Spaghetti, awesome.
Basically, the theme of the channel is to, I suppose, lift the lid on some of the workflow or production practices of notable influencers, if you want to put it that way. Is that the right title you give to people, YouTubers, podcasters, etc., etc.?
Yeah.
So it's aimed at people who are interested in the background to some of these productions.
Yeah. He's got an all-star cast already, just scrolling through the channel.
There's not a great deal of videos. The channel has only been active for about 4 or 5 months now, but it does show promise. I'll be looking forward to future uploads. The one I most enjoyed was about an hour with Casey Neistat, and they did a kind of reverse engineer on one of his particular episodes, and they went through it blow by blow, and he described his exact thought process and editing technique and how he utilizes edits and cuts and applies sound and audio and music.
That sounds really good. I'll have to check them out.
Yes. So that is my multimedia recommendation for this week. Digital Spaghetti on YouTube.
Great stuff. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to episode 189. And of course, you have listened to all 189 because you wouldn't do anything else to me. But thank you very much. And I hope you return next week for episode 190. But for now, farewell.